Howdy. Welcome to the Pagan Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Reverend Janet Callahan. I'm the author of Parenting Pagan Tots and two new workbooks on children's programming and working with disabled children in children's programming. And you can find those on Amazon and on Kindle. I am also the mom to two wonderful but slightly complicated kiddos. And on this podcast, we talk about all things pagan parenting.
Hello, hello. Today we're going to talk about schooling. It has certainly been sort of an odd year, hasn't it? And here we are in the middle of summer, and school is going to be upon us rather quickly. And I think we're all trying to figure out what that's going to be and how it's going to work and what things we really need to figure out for this year, because it's not going to look like last year, and last year didn't look like anything we'd ever done before. So we find ourselves in my household as homeschoolers these days. That was new for us last year. And I'll be honest, we originally were not going to homeschool because my children are both disabled and have a lot of learning challenges. And it seemed to us like maybe we needed the professional involved to make sure that they were actually getting what they needed. Just in case you're wondering, they did not get what they needed. And we probably could have figured that out a little sooner. But once we were in school, it was kind of easier to stay in school. And there was a lot of things that would have had to shift around to make homeschooling a viable option for us at the time. Obviously, in the last year, every one of those things sort of went out the window. My husband is no longer employed, and I am working from home and have been working from home and probably will continue working from home for the foreseeable future. The discussion right now is that we may go back to work like one or two days a week, maybe not even that much. And I'm okay with that. I'm really not missing the commute at all. So, homeschooling. You know, when I first started buying pagan parenting books long before I had children, because it took us a long time once we decided we wanted children to actually have them, we read a book called Pagan Parenting by Kristen Madden. And I'll admit, I didn't really like it then. And I reread it this last year, thinking that maybe I had, you know, just not really missed it. You know, that I missed things, or I hadn't really understood what the book was about in that sort of pre-parenting research phase. But I think, honestly, the truth is it really just isn't the kind of book that works for me. So I've spent this year looking at resources sort of all over the place, right? What can you find online? What can you find locally? What can we find that really works for us? And what works for every family is going to be different. Let me be really, really clear about that. Let me repeat it again. We are all making choices based on what our children need and what our family needs. And your choices may not look like our choices at my house, and that's okay. I tell people that we basically fell off the end of the bell curve, and you know, that's just sort of where it is for us. We are not going to fit in many, many groups. And that's not a fault of those groups necessarily. That's just not who they are. So it's just not going to work. So what I have found, I found a couple of Facebook groups that are pagan parenting specific, and most of them are, most of the bigger ones are pretty low drama and have some good information. Some of the smaller ones are very, very drama filled. And so you're just going to have to find a group that seems like a good fit for you. But search pagan homeschooling on Facebook and on the internet, and you'll find a ton of resources. What you won't find is curriculum. And I know I've harped on this before in terms of resources and things that are available, but there really isn't a pagan curriculum out there. Your best bet is to look for something secular and add pagan stuff into it. What we found here is that more than half of the homeschooling groups here in our area are Christian oriented, and it's just not a good fit for us. Maybe you can make that work for your family, but we certainly can't make it work for ours. You know, my name is plastered all over every book I've written, and it doesn't take people long to figure out who we are and what we're about. That's sort of I'm okay with that. You know, we knew that going into it, that's how it was going to be. And that was a decision we made, but it could be really challenging if you live someplace where being out is not necessarily that great of an idea. We really just have struggled with resources in general, and I know that sounds ridiculous because the internet is everywhere. Part of it, I think, for us is that my kids are autistic and they do have learning challenges and they have language challenges and they have motor skill challenges, and like everything is challenging. Part of it is that when I went looking for groups specifically, wanted something that was inclusive. Many, many, many groups have basically said we're not a good fit for them, and I get that. Like, not everybody is ready for the intensity that is our household. And that's their choice, right? They're allowed to do that. They're allowed to say that, but it makes it hard for me to know what our options really are. And then, two, we have like all of these other things that we want out of our experience. If we're not going to go back to school, then we don't want to go back to a situation where my kids are the only disabled kids in the group. We don't want to go back to a situation where the fact that our family is complicated, you know, we're poly, we're pagan, we're a whole bunch of things. And we don't want the fact that we're poly to be a problem. We don't want the fact that we're pagan to be a problem. We don't want the fact that the kids are autistic to be a problem. And we don't want the fact that we are Native American to be a problem. And I'd really prefer that we not be the only minority people in the group, you know? So, plus, here in Detroit is segregated in some really funny ways by economics. And I don't want us to be stuck in that sort of, you know, you can only be with the rich kids kind of deal. So, I would love to see some more resources out there. I've seen a few that work okay. Blossom and Root as a curriculum is lovely and well-researched. It is not pagan. They are not pagan, but it certainly is closer than many options. And I've seen a few attempts at some preschool stuff, but I haven't seen anything for bigger kids in a long time. And that's really actually sort of sad. And I wish we could do better for our kids. But I also know that me writing a curriculum for everybody would be terrible, because I write based on what we know here, and our life is not like most people's lives, you know. Kids who are more like I was as a kid need something different than kids who are like my kids. So, I will try and post over on the Facebook page, but if you know of any good pagan homeschooling resources, feel free to post in the comments, so that we can all learn what's out there and what's available for us. I think it's about time for a break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about pagans and public schools. See you in a bit.
Did you know that you can support the Pagan Parenting Podcast? It's really easy. Just go to anchor.fm/Janet-Callahan and click on the support button, and you can donate directly to support this podcast. We also are always interested in advertisers, both here and on our website. Here you can get an advertisement put right into the middle of our podcast. And over on our website, paganparenting.info, we have banner ads and other sponsorship options. So, like what you hear? Support this podcast and help us out a little bit. Thanks.
That's it for this episode. This is just a reminder that you can find Pagan Parenting Podcast on Facebook, and you can check out our website, paganparenting.info. We'll talk more soon.
So let's talk a little bit about pagans and public schools. You know, like 15 years ago, it seemed like every other month there was some story about a church handing out Bibles during the middle of lunch breaks, or, you know, just all of these things that were sort of weird and really discriminatory towards us as pagans, and really focused on the Christian majority. And I find that to be less and less true these days. Not that they don't happen, because they do, but they are less likely and less newsworthy, I guess is the right word, because the things that do happen are more subtle. So let me tell you a little story about our interaction with this. As I said earlier, my kids are autistic, and my oldest was in a special ed classroom, because it was the easiest place to meet his needs. And I say that with some sense of irony these days, understanding what that really got us, but it is what it is. So the first year that he was in that special ed classroom, the first year that he was there the whole year, because the first year he started in like January, we moved him from a regular first grade classroom into that classroom full time because, he was a mess. They were a mess. It was all a mess. And it seemed like our only option to keep him, basically out of permanent detention. So in the fall, we got, you know, kids get all kinds of things home in their backpacks when they're in school. And we got a letter, a several page letter from a local church in my child's folder in his backpack, inviting us to a Christmas event. Which struck me as a little odd because we had never gotten one before, and it wasn't like he didn't have an IEP before, and it wasn't like he wasn't in special ed services before. It turns out they only give them to kids in special ed classrooms, not kids receiving special ed services in regular classrooms. So I just want you to keep that in mind as we go forward at how targeted this is and how under the radar the whole thing ends up being. So they send home this letter inviting us to this Christmas event. They want us to provide a list of 3 or 4 things our child would like to receive as Christmas gifts. Their church parishioners will each be assigned, all of the people who volunteer at the church to do this, will be assigned a child to go buy Christmas gifts for, to be given to them at this Christmas party. There will not be Santa because it is a religious Christmas party. They're just buying gifts to be nice. And the part that made this even better was they were going to give us those gifts at a special dinner. Now, this special dinner was only open to the child in question. You could not bring a sibling with you. Parents would be in one room receiving a special message about the Christmas holiday, and children would be in a separate room where there would be volunteers taking care of them. Now, I get that there are respite programs that do this sort of thing, but this was literally their introduction to us, right? This is not, we're offering you an afternoon of respite. This was not, hey, this is our thing. This was, we want you to come and hear a special Christmas message from our church, and we're going to give your child gifts while you're not in the room. And the first time I was just baffled. The second year I got it, I was actually a little alarmed because I started asking questions. I'm like, who allowed this to go home in their backpacks? Because by then I was on the PTO and I knew that there were rules about what was supposed to go home in backpacks and what wasn't. And I was really concerned about this message that they were planning to separate kids that they didn't know from their families. Now, some of you will think that that sounds a little paranoid. Some of you have kids like mine who were like, no, that just wouldn't fly. To take care of my kids requires some medical knowledge and some behavioral knowledge and some skill. And without those things, it's very hard to safely care for them. So the fact that they were going to do all this without asking those kinds of questions really worried me. So by then I had made friends with our principal, and I messaged her and I said, I want to ask you a question off the record because I don't want to be that mom, but I do like have some concerns. And so I explained it to her and she's like, I approve stuff that goes home in kids' backpacks and I have never seen that form. Can you send it to me? She read it and she's like, all right, I promise you're not being that mom. She says, I am a, you know, she's a Christian and she's a parent of several special needs children. You know, she has kids with epilepsy and kids with allergies and kids with some other issues. And she was like, no, this is not cool. This is really not what I would consider appropriate. So, how did it end up in my kid's backpack? So the story is that she went and asked. The person sending all of those home is a special ed staff member who sent them through inter-school mail to all of the special ed teachers and asked them to send them home with the kids. She circumvented all of the typical responses and typical pathways for this sort of thing and just handed them out, basically. Asked teachers to hand them out for her. So, not everybody is going to be in this same special ed situation we're in, but don't think that just because your kid isn't in special ed, that there aren't these sorts of things happening in other places, in schools. You know, we don't hear much about the release time Bible classes anymore, although they still exist. We don't hear much about things like after school programs, although those also still exist. I think it's the Satanic Temple that sponsors after school Satan clubs. I don't know if any actually operate or if it's just a marketing ploy, but I've considered a couple of times whether or not I should just do that as my please stop trying to drag my kid into your church kind of thing. On the other hand, I have also threatened to apply to have Spiral Scouts meet there after school. And I suspect they wouldn't let me do one if they had already heard me talking about doing the other. So, you know, sometimes we have to use a little forethought and sensibility. It is legal for them to send stuff home with your kid if they send everything home from any group. That means if you want to start a Spiral Scouts group and your kid is getting stuff home from churches, then you can ask them to send your stuff home and they cannot say no. You can ask them to not send stuff home with your kid. They probably won't because most of the backpack things are really sort of haphazard. We just throw everything in kind of a deal. But, you know, this is not, it's not cool when there's discrimination happening like this and when kids are being targeted based on the fact that they are disabled or of lower income or any number of other things. It really just isn't appropriate for school. So if you find yourself in a situation where you're not sure, reach out to your community and ask people. People will tell you whether or not they think it's reasonable and how the law applies. And if you don't have anybody to ask, feel free to message me and ask me, because we've been through it a few times now. And I really think schools should do a better job. Right? Because unless your kid is going to a private parochial school, most of that stuff really doesn't belong in their backpack or in their, you know, what their teacher is teaching them. So that's my thought on it for today. You know, most schools are pretty careful these days, but every once in a while you see something really just sort of weird. And it's your right to speak up about it. It's your right to say, this is inappropriate for my child. This is inappropriate for you to be advertising or offering because you're not a church. And they have to be fair to everybody. So that's all I have for today. Tune in next time and we'll see what else I have to talk about. Have a good one.